Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, in for Dr. Dobson today for day four of Family Talk's five-day marriage challenge. In a recent survey, nearly 70% of married couples told us here at Family Talk that they want to be spending more regular devotional time together with their spouses. We want to help you make this happen. That's why this week we have dedicated each of our broadcasts to marriage. Today's guests are Victor and Eileen Marks. Their theme will be the importance of putting the needs of your spouse ahead of your own. The devotion is called Deny Yourself. Victor Marks overcame a childhood of abuse and neglect and came to faith in Christ at the age of 20. Soon after, he met his future wife, Eileen. They have had a most interesting journey from there. In 2003, they combined their love of fitness, mixed martial arts, and faith to launch All Things Possible, a ministry dedicated to reaching broken, troubled, and trafficked youth in North America and the Middle East. Their testimonies have received over 30 million views online. Victor and Eileen have been married for nearly 30 years and are the parents of five children. Here now are Victor and Eileen Marks on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk. I'm your guest host today, Victor Marks from ATP Ministries, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Eileen, and we're grateful to the Dobsons, Dr. Dobson and Shirley. They're celebrating 57 years of marriage this week. You know, we're here today to discuss the five-day marriage challenge, and we hope you go online to check it out and give it a try. Actually, just go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge. We're also here to read a devotional, and we're going to share that. And it's taken from Jim and Shirley's, the Dobson's book, Nightlight for Couples, which we've had for years personally and used. It's on the subject of sacrificial love, you know, denying oneself. And it's taken out of Matthew 16:24.
Which reads, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So television advertisers are experts at rattling the cages of viewers. They understand the philosophy of today's audience. Look out for number one. And that's why we've been bombarded with slogans such as, "Have it your way," "You deserve a break today," and "Because I'm worth it." Their goal is to appeal to our self-centered nature and manipulate us into buying a product. Frequently, they succeed. The I'm third approach to life is in direct contradiction to the message of these ads. And while it should be, Jesus tells us that our first obligation is following him must be to deny ourselves, to let go of the steering wheel, so to speak, and let the Lord drive. Secondly, we are to love and care for others. Try implementing these priorities. They would lead to a better marriage in this life and eternal rewards in the next. God first, others second, myself third. A simple phrase, but it contains far more wisdom for living to the fullest than anything you'll see or hear on any television ad.
That's the truth. Now, we've actually used these principles in Dr. Dobson and Shirley's book for what? I mean, we're married 29 years this year. So my question is, do you think we have a I'm third kind of marriage?
I think we do in many aspects. I think our ministry together really kind of helps us focus in that kind of arena, right? Where there's so many needs of so many people, and yet we have needs, one another and our family. I think sometimes it gets kind of tricky, but I think we're mindful of that.
Yeah, and I mean, before we were in ministry, we did business together. We've always worked together in whatever capacity, and I think in the beginning, it wasn't always that I'm third because, remember, we were trying to excel. Although we were following the Lord, we were trying to be successful in what we did. We ended up in Hawaii, remember?
I do.
Our martial arts schools and business, construction business. So there were times I can personally say I didn't quite put the Lord first in everything. I kind of added him in. But he's so gracious and kind to always give us a quick redirection, right? And now, well, we've been in ATP Ministries. We started that 14 years ago. Actually, we were on staff. I was on staff for Dr. Dobson. And that's when God launched us to start reaching troubled and abused youth. And it has led to 1,100 youth prisons around the country, us traveling in a bus, living in a bus as a family. And then the last few years, spending time in the Middle East, in Iraq, reaching children who've been affected by ISIS. And I think over the years, God certainly has shown us the true approach to joy for living is Jesus first, others second, and then personally ourselves last instead of demanding what we believe is best.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've been on a journey to do that. I don't think it just happened, but like you said, we've just the ministry we've been in, I think it's helped us.
Yeah, and we've experienced it when we're not trying to just build and do something for ourselves and just trying to hear the Lord and obey Him, life turns out better. And isn't that what we tell our kids? We just go, hey, you know, the best thing we could hope for y'all is that you hear from the Lord and just seek to obey Him.
Yep. I would say that this is something that doesn't come natural, right? Because our natural desire is to be taken care of. I want what I want, right?
Self.
And we've learned how to do that. We've learned how to minister to one another and put each other's needs first. It hasn't always been like that, but we've learned.
Yeah. And as a couple, it's important for a husband and wife to minister to one another first before anybody else. Because if we're not building into our relationship, we've seen the toll that it takes. How many friends have we seen that their marriages didn't last, both in or out of ministry? And I thank God for His graciousness with us because we went through some hard times.
Yes, we did.
Separated twice, weren't we?
Yep.
In 29 years. And you were wrong on both accounts, but I accepted you back into the fold, young lady.
Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Well, and you know, one thing that we did that I'm so glad we had godly counsel to help us to stay the course, helping us recognize, I know it's challenging, I know it's hard, but it's not going to always be like this.
Yeah.
So our godly counsel friends that God brought around us, really.
But we did have some ungodly counsel.
Yes, we
People
did.
People were telling you, leave me, divorce me, because I was, you know, I was struggling with PTSD from my background, and I did some kooky things. I mean.
Well, yes.
when challenges come and trials hit, what I'm so grateful for is we had such good, solid Bible teaching in the beginning of our marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a foundation because the storms came, right? And they're going to come. You can't stop them. But then I will say this. There's a scene in our film that so clearly demonstrates sacrificial love. And it's remember when I just snapped. I was struggling with reality. Mm-hmm. And I ran into the shower. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there in a heap. You know, showers pouring on me. And, I was losing touch with reality. I mean, I was in such a broken state. And you stepped into the shower, fully clothed. You sat down next to me, and you just held me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going, this feels like God is here with me right now and just loving me unconditionally. And I'm always grateful and so glad they were able to communicate that through the film. But I mean, you have been, you know, you've definitely been. I've been the zealous one, right, because it's my personality. But you've just been so solid in demonstrating sacrificial love for our kids and our relationship. And that has helped us to be a, you know, really what I would call that I'm third kind of marriage. Thank you.
Mm. Well, honey, do you know what? I don't know if you knew this, but in our kitchen, in the cabinet, I put up a scripture. It was Philippians 2:5. It talks about Christ's humility. He who was God came in the form of a servant. So every time I'd open up that cupboard, I would look at that and it would be a gentle reminder to me that if Jesus can serve, if He can bow down and lower Himself to serve us, the least I can do is serve my husband and family, even when I'm tired, even when I don't want to.
Well, actually, I didn't know that. Thank God for scriptures, right?
Yeah, yes.
That word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. So in our lifetime, have we seen or do we know other couples that have really modeled this type of sacrificial love?
Well, yes. Marie and Frank Drown. Yes.
Yes.
an amazing couple. They're in their 90s now, right?
Yeah.
They were in ministry, lived in the jungles, had 5 children, right?
Yep.
Out there.
And they were the ones who, Elliot, remember?
Yes, Jim Elliot.
Jim
yes.
Elliot, when he and his team were killed down in the jungles, it was actually Frank that went down to help recover the body because they were close friends. And then what Jim and his wife were planning to do, Frank and Marie Drown actually did for all those years, living under harsh conditions, but seeing the faithfulness of God. And we met them when they were in their 80s.
Yep.
He wrote a book, right? And I really recommend couples who want to see one of the greatest examples of harsh living, sacrificial love for people and commitment to God is their book. But I would say this, they had so much joy. They never really shared or expressed their life was hard, having babies in the jungle and all the challenges. It's just so much full of joy. That's been one couple I've really appreciated for sure.
Yeah, they have been an amazing example of really living their life for the Lord.
Yeah, and not that we're just here, but of course, Doc and Shirley, me working for them when we were younger, to see his stellar example. And I've always told people this, hey, what you hear from Dr. Dobson, that's who he is. That is just who he is. There's not a behind-the-scenes type of person. So they've been great examples. I think that's why they could write this devotional Nightlife that's helped us so much with real content for couples that are wanting to do the best they can.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, you're listening to Family Talk. I'm the guest host today, Victor Marks, with my bride, Eileen. And we're filling in for Dr. Dobson and Shirley, who are celebrating their 57 years. And this week, we're going over the marriage challenge. And we hope that you actually go take a look at it and join us for it. It's drjamesdobson.org/challenge. Now, honey, the next question I'm about to ask, this could get some dander up. That's why I was laughing at it earlier. But how do you feel about putting my desires ahead of yours? Tell us.
That's a very good question.
It comes so naturally to me.
Yes.
Having you
put
my desires.
Your desires before mine.
Yeah, so natural.
Well, do you know, again, this has been a learning experience for me, but one example I can see is every morning I get up, I make coffee, and I bring you coffee. It actually brings me joy. I mean, I love it. I think this is such a loving act for me, and I don't have to think about it. I just do it because I love bringing you coffee.
And this is after I've run 10 miles, done my PT, milked the cows, bush hogged the land, and done a 2-hour devotion.
All in your dreams, yes.
Yeah.
So then I actually come and bring coffee to wake you up out of your dream.
Pretty much. Really, babe?
Yeah.
Seriously, that act of service that, you know, which is one of my love languages, you know, you coming and bringing me that cup of coffee it really starts my day. And you've been so faithful to do that almost 29 years. I'm so glad I like coffee.
Me too. Because then I give you my honey do list.
Yeah. Time to get up, bum. Well, I know that didn't come natural. It didn't in the beginning because we were two different people. Right. And, you know, it's like you said earlier, just our natural desire is to put ourselves before others.
Mm-hmm.
So having to learn how, you know, to make that adjustment. You were super capable, successful woman when we met, young lady. Who had done a lot. So, and you didn't take a backseat to anybody. And I think it felt like that in the beginning because I had to make some decisions as a husband and a man that, you know, I was a final and that wasn't what you were used to. Was that hard?
Yes, it was hard coming under your direction because of my upbringing, right? In my family, you're either followers or leaders, and followers were not highly encouraged. So that, I mean, we had to work at that. But you know what? I've learned really that loving you and serving you and ministering to you, it does bring me joy. It's not work. So I think for people who have a hard time doing that, maybe pulling out of that perspective is like, I don't like doing this and he makes me do this. I think it's a gift that we get to give each other to serve each other and love each other, especially if that's your love language. It's mine too. So yeah.
Now, am I demanding?
No, I know you appreciate it.
Yeah. So it'd be harder if a husband is demanding his bride.
Right. If you were yelling at me from the bedroom, yelling, where's my coffee?
Woman.
Yes. you may just get your coffee, but maybe not in a cup. Okay, so Victor, let me ask you this question. How do you feel about putting my desires ahead of your own?
You know what? Boy, what a learning deal, right? Because coming into our marriage, I thought I was a pretty godly guy. I was darn selfish. I mean, you find out how selfish you are when you marry someone, and all of a sudden, 24/7, they actually have needs too and desires. For me, it was difficult. But then I found out, just like investing in a bank account, I started seeing interest grow. And when I would put your desires ahead of mine, and it doesn't take much. It sure didn't with you. Just small acts of kindness, hearing your heart of what you really needed, right? I think that went a long way for me in marriage. And as a guy, I'm going to just talk for guys. We tend to be selfish, and I'm going to go right to it. Intimacy, right? Men are, we're very, that's one of our love languages, sex. And I remember just going, hey, you know, we're married, so, you know, glory, hallelujah. But it doesn't always work that way, right? Mm-hmm. And I learned to just slow my roll and develop our relationship and then see the benefit of physical intimacy after we really started learning spiritual, emotional intimacy. It became a natural outcome. And I thank God now after 29 years, it is far better than anything I could have ever thought, desired, or asked for, even in our early part of our marriage.
Well, and here's the key, I think, to women. Because we are wired so differently, and I'll speak from my experiences, when I know that you really love me and that you really want to take care of me, it opens up my heart and my desires for more of you.
Mm.
And again, I know this is a learning. This just doesn't happen in marriage. It takes trust and it takes time. And then I think it takes a desire to want to please and bring what God has designed for marriage. And we're talking about intimacy.
Yeah.
Bring that to the point where God wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is never about self. It's always about giving out. And when both of us are doing that, it's amazing.
Yeah, when we try to outdo each other in love, the results are phenomenal.
Yeah. I think, and we always say this, this is God's design for marriage. This is God's way.
And we protect that because we know the enemy is so, I mean, he perverts everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, what can we do to, you know, change or create a better I'm third marriage? Because, I don't think anybody ever arrives at this. Yeah.
You know, recognize when we're in those times that we're tired. And we're just spent. We have nothing left, but we still have to live life. We're still married. We still have to do things. I think recognizing that, you know what, I'm just spent. I have nothing. And maybe to communicate that better, right? Yeah. I know when you travel and you come home, I know you're exhausted. Mm. I know that. And I don't expect a lot from you.
Mm.
So I think kind of learning that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not putting expectations on each other when we know we have nothing to give.
Yeah, and does it help when I'm able to explain to you or communicate, babe, I'm smoked. Like we just spent, for those of you who don't know, our ministry is called ATP Ministries, and we've been spending the last several years reaching children who've been affected by ISIS. And we actually have a home, residence in Iraq. And we were just there. We flew back here for some things we're doing, but I mean, the most extreme cases is I'm driving in with my team in armored vehicles from Mosul, and I'm carrying a baby, right, that we had just recovered from ISIS. They had killed his parents. And I come in, I'm like, I don't have to say it, right? I'm like, psh, I'm smoked. Can you take this little baby and let me just kind of regroup, take my kit off, put my weapon down? Now, normal marriages probably don't have to go through that. So I think picking up milk and bread as a husband and coming home, it still matters that you communicate to your wife how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little word like, man, babe, could I get a few minutes? But also, I think I'm intentional at times to try to help you out, right? For myself, dying to myself and helping you. Because, amen, listen to me. Honestly, for me, it's easier to face ISIS in Mosul than wash the dishes or, you know, I pray to the Lord, give me the anointing that I need when I spoke to 8,000 men in a conference to come home. And if there are dishes in the sink, I'm not going to look at them and go, hey, babe, you know, where's my dinner? You know, is sometimes you need just a little bit of help. Just, right? And I say, one thing I do that you like is I'll run you a bath.
Yeah.
And I learned that a long time ago. Thank goodness. It's just that act of service that says, I love you. I'm thinking about you. You probably need to get in there and soak it out, right? With the kids, with the work that we do. So little things like that matter. In every marriage, you got to figure out your own spouse's needs and desires. We pray, Lord, give us the key to each other's hearts. You know, and it's seasonal. I mean, it could be one thing a few years and another thing another. So I would encourage men, hey, look for an opportunity to have this self-denial, you know, which it's not a bad word. It's the words of Jesus. He's the one that said we must deny ourselves, right? Pick up the cross and follow him. Because it really is an act of God loving our spouse through us.
And just a practical note on how do we implement this? You've texted me sometimes on your way home. And it, I mean, true, like you said, you don't have to be in Iraq doing this. It's traveling from work. Both spouses, they have just a stressed out day. A little text saying, honey, I'm on my way home. I'm tired. I may need a few minutes just to unwind. That prepares my heart to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to dump all these things on you. And that's just practical. And I think that does help us.
Just a heads up. Yep. God's grace and his love and mercy is available for all of us. We would just encourage you, get in the word. That's why it's important to do devotionals, however that looks for all of you, and fight for your marriage, because there's a real dark, wicked enemy that hates marriage, that hates you, that hates y'all, and he's studying and stalking you. It's so important that you make it a priority. And we're not perfect in our approach to devotions or reading or even praying together, but at least we do it, right? And we would just encourage y'all, don't give up on your marriage. The best is yet to come. And continue to feed your spirit, protect your marriage, love one another, love your children, put God first, others second, and then yourself personally last, in the sense of what you think you deserve and need. God will take care of the rest if you're doing right.
I think so. And I think one thing that's helped us is we know we're on a journey. We're on a journey together. And what helps me to kind of look at my situation with you sometimes is that we're brother and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to let each other off the hook sometimes of this expectation that we may have on each other, but let each other off the hook, it relieves our own stress and pressure that we put on each other.
And you're talking about forgiveness.
On forgiveness, but also expectations,
yeah.
Right?
Well, and I would just say too, you know, there's such a problem with wives and husbands in their area of intimacy, but you have not only lived it, but you've spoken to it at women's conferences on women minister to your men.
Yeah.
And that's part of your ministry, intimacy with me.
Yes, it is.
And I say, glory to God. You got amazing rewards in heaven, sister.
Wonderful. I'll take them.
All right. Hey, you've been listening to Family Talk with Victor and Eileen Marks, guest host today for Dr. James Dobson. And we've been doing the 5-day marriage challenge. We invite you to go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge and be part of this marriage challenge, because it matters.
We want to thank you, Dr. and Shirley Dobson, for allowing us to sit in here. And we look forward to having you back next week.
Hey, let's close with prayer. Dear Jesus, we hear your invitation to follow you in life, in a life of self-denial. And today, we make you the Lord of our marriage. Help us to live every day by your example, in obedience to the Father, and in loving service to each other. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And on that note, we conclude day 4 of our 5-day marriage challenge here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. You've been listening to Victor and Eileen Marks from All Things Possible Ministries, discussing the importance of putting your spouse first in a Christ-centered marriage. Each day this week, we've invited some dear friends who are experts in the field of marriage to join us in the studio, walking us through a series of devotionals designed to strengthen your marriage. After you hear these programs, you have the opportunity to work through these same devotionals with your spouse as well. You can sign up to take the 5-Day Marriage Challenge when you go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge. On our broadcast page, we also recommend you check out the classic devotional book called Nightlight for Couples by James and Shirley Dobson. This helpful resource is the basis for the devotional material we're featuring this week. So if you're enjoying these devotionals, you'll find more of this kind of inspiring material in the book Nightlight for Couples by James and Shirley Dobson. Learn more when you go to drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to join us again next time when we conclude our 5-Day Marriage Challenge featuring special guest hosts Pastor Greg Laurie and his wife Kathy. That's tomorrow right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.